and it wasn't from the three-point line. He was able to get inside, take advantage of some mismatches, be aggressive, and score points. Kamari McGee continues to do torrid things from outside the arc, going 3 of 5 from outside. Those two, Gilmore and McGee, are revelations this season that have made, that have taken what people thought, man, this could be a good Wisconsin team, to an elite team. Like that, those are the pieces that make them. Tanjay being better than probably anybody guessed. But those bench players rounding out scoring and adding up to 19 points today in what was not a starring role either, but they still get you 19. That's enough to bury a team.
And that's the encouraging, and one of the many encouraging aspects of this team is the depth. And you can bring guys off the bench, and they can be defensive, you know, stoppers, or, you know, that kind of role, but they can also score. And they're encouraged to shoot it when you're open. And, you know, we've talked about Xavier Amos. He gets 6 points tonight. Janicki didn't score tonight, but he's had games where he will knock down shots. That's huge as you continue through the month of February.
Definitely. And Wisconsin jumping out to a big lead also allowed Greg Gard to expand his bench just a little bit. You know, getting Amos in there for 13 minutes, Janicki in there for 12, allowing some of his heavy minute guys to sit. Klesman only playing 25. That's helpful this time of year when they've got bigger mountains to climb coming up. The other thing we haven't even discussed is 6 turnovers in this game.
Yeah.
And now they had 9 in the first half against Northwestern, and it was sloppy, and that was something that didn't sit well with them at halftime. Then they come out and they get 1 in the second half against Northwestern, and then 3 in each half today. You just give yourself so many more chances, and that's a tenet of Wisconsin basketball over the years, but something that we saw again today.
Points off turnovers, 18-7 in favor of Wisconsin. The Hoosiers guilty of 11 turnovers in this game. Another aspect that I know that will make Greg Gard feel really good is Indiana had put 9 offensive rebounds. Second chance points, 10-9 in favor of Wisconsin. And I say that because Indiana missed a lot of shots, but the Badgers were able to secure the defensive glass pretty well again here tonight.
And if you recall, most of those offensive rebounds came once this game was already a 15-20 point margin. Mm-hmm. So when Wisconsin made its run to build this lead that they never really relinquished, that was a zero. Indiana was getting no offensive rebounds and 0 second chance points. I don't think you can underscore the importance of both of those things.
Badgers win it tonight over Indiana, 76-64. When we continue, we'll take a look at the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the 3 major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
A couple tight games going on in the late window of the Big Ten Conference. So we'll keep tabs on that before we close out. And, you know, the second half of the season now that Wisconsin has won its first 2 games. And, yes, you mentioned it a little earlier about, you know, there's still some pretty tough games ahead on the road. Iowa this Saturday, a week from Saturday at Purdue. There's still Michigan State on the road. But these guys, Patrick, when they're at their best, I feel like they can play with anybody, anywhere.
You do. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, if you're looking at analytics and the kind of starting to – it's February, so I think we can start looking at postseason resume things. And this game goes down as a quad two win for Wisconsin in the net rankings. And that gives Wisconsin 11 of those. They've got six quad ones and five quad twos. That's almost as good as anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's only four teams that have more quad one and two wins than Wisconsin does. And those six quad one wins, I think there's only about five teams that have more than that. So – I know Indiana on the outside in appearance, they 5-5 record in the league, but these wins matter, and this league is so good that we shouldn't take for granted winning a game like this in the middle of the dog days of the season like this.
That's the thing, you know. We've always laugh at this time of year because I made that mistake with Bo his first year. I asked him about the dog days, and you get that look, you know, like, huh?
Dog? No, I've never had a dog.
So. Now that he's out playing golf, you know, I asked some other guys and said, yeah, it kind of is. But the more you can take care of your business during this tough stretch, then you at least you set yourself up to, you know, finish pretty high in the Big Ten Conference. And the Badgers are on a nice path. Long way to go, I get it. But if they're the dog days, they're fighting through it as Greg Gard makes his way over to us, 76-64, the Badgers beat Indiana tonight.
Yeah, and really important to get this one, too, because Wisconsin's in a stretch of four of five games away from home. So they've already won one of them. They won at Northwestern. Getting this one home win, really important because steeper mountains are ahead.
Yeah, as Coach Gard will join us here courtside. Yeah, we've got Greg down noticing, huh? What? He's a five-tool player, Greg.
Oh, wow.
You had to dig deep into the bullpen to come up with this one.
You were like... You had some good company tonight.
I did. Well, Butch is suspended just because. Oh, okay. They actually work at a BTN game as we speak down at Evanston. And, yeah, Patrick graciously. He's undefeated, by the way.
He's a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he really is.
Put him on the sideline. Put him on the sideline. Put him on the court side.
Absolutely. And undefeated when the Badgers are undefeated when Patrick is working these games. So what pleased you the most about how your guys went about their business tonight?
I think the defensive start. I thought we really were dialed in defensively. We made life really hard for them to try to get the ball in the paint, which is, you know, they got two good players in Renew and Balo. And I thought we really set the tone early. You know, we made Goody have to move to get shots off for the most part in the first half. We let Mabako got one in the corner right from our bench. We got caught in the lane a little too long. And then obviously the obvious, the ball goes in. You know, everything looks fantastic. But the defensive end, I thought we were really connected. We were really playing off one another and covering for one another and helping each other and really active and aggressive and a really good start.
And it's part of the defensive end, but controlling the glass against this team in particular. So in that first half, allowed only three offensive rebounds, zero second chance points.
Right.
That's part of the equation.
Absolutely. That was, you know, we had to keep the ball out of the paint as much as possible. But when it does go in, are we where we're digging from, who we're digging off of, And then also when the shot goes up, it's 50-50 ball. We needed to have everybody on deck coming in and with hands and noses and faces and everything else to bring it all to the party.
We were struck because Indiana likes to play quickly. We were struck by the number of late shot clock situations they were in. It seemed like you made everything.
Yeah. I think we took away the main threats and we were able to, you know, cover and cover shooters and stay with shooters and. I thought our bigs did, our five specifically, did a really good job of shocking ball screens and not allowing the ball to get inside the paint and where we got caught in two-on-ones with Balo and the guard. So that was obviously a really good job by those guys to really keep that ball outside the three-point line and keep going east-west. And we did, a really good job on the backside of loading. We didn't get caught really with an alley for the roller to the rim and like I said, I'll put all those things together and you have a pretty good performance.
The balance on offense struck us too, that nobody had a standout performance, but contributions all up and down the lineup, including off the bench, 25 bench points.
Right.
And I was curious to see how Gilly James would respond to the last 72 hours when people have been talking about
He's
him
been
a
BMOC.
lot. Yeah, big man. That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, he's mature, and I think that's the biggest thing with Gilly is just the maturity he has now and plays with and understands his role and embraces his role. And when the opportunities come for him to, you know, to knock a three down, he's got confidence in it and not afraid to let her fly.
I always think of other things, too, beyond the scoring. Max Klesman has 6 assists. John Blackwell, I mean, he's 3 for 12, but he had 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
You know, he just not afraid
to get in
there.
And that was part of the whole defensive concept. Like, the bigs were going to be entangled with Renault and with Balo. Guards, you got to go clean up the mess at times. And John did that, especially down the stretch there as we were icing it away. We got him into long possessions, and Blackwell got a lot of those, you know, last back 10 minutes of the game where he collected a lot of those defensive rebounds.
Sometimes when things are going, everything was almost perfect to start the game. They never got it to single digits after 3.5 minutes. Now, it's be easy to maybe get, as a player, get your foot off the gas. And, you know, they would maybe 12. That was as close as they got. You guys, there was no big slippage there,
no,
was there?
No, it wasn't until right at the end, you know, when, you know, they kept trying to add their main guys in, and I wanted to get to our bench knowing we got bigger fish to fry. So, I thought, and it's hard when you come out banging threes like we did. I don't know what we made the first 6 or 7.
6 out of 7.
6 out of 7,
like
something
that.
Like that. It's hard. I mean, I know that's the crowd loves it and everything. They think they're all going to go in. And, you know, definitely, eventually you come back to earth a little bit. But this team, you know, moves the ball, shares the ball, and obviously can shoot it. And once we get rolling, we're a handful.
Protecting the home court. You guys are really good at that. I know the next two are on the road, but give yourself a little
are
time.
They?
To,
I don't know. Well, I know we go to Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa's next, and then somebody after that. I think you have a little bit of time.
You ever come to a Badger Indiana game, like as a kid, and maybe in the field house or watch him play? Because have you ever seen Indiana win in this city? Because that's 21 straight home wins now. One of the more improbable streaks that I can think of.
I'm trying to think if I ever came and watched Indiana play back. I don't think I did, not when Knight was coaching. Now, the one I remember coming to watch Iowa, Wisconsin, and Raveling was coaching at Iowa at the time. But
think about that. They haven't won here since 1998.
The second game ever.
Most of my team was not alive.
Not even close.
Yeah, right? The second game ever at the Kohl Center.
Really?
In 1998. Yeah, your guys, none of them. Not even Tanjay.
No.
It was 1998.
Knight was not coaching then.
Knight was.
He was. Here.
He was.
That was the infamous
Otto Pauls. That was 2000 when Otto had to take care of business with one of their support staffers.
Those old dust up at the scores table.
That's right. Forgot that Otto's sneaky golden gloves. Good. Yeah. So, no. Go enjoy this one. Appreciate it.
We will.
All right. Thank you much.
All right. Thank you.
Right, congratulations.
Coach.
Badgers win it. Over Indiana tonight, 76-64. Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Looking for a fan favorite at your tailgate? Pork has you covered. Not only is it nutritious and delicious, but pork's got that flavor that your family expects. Firing up the grill? Try chops, brats, and ribs. Making appetizers or finger foods? Add bacon, ground, or shredded pork. Visit WPPA.org for recipe inspiration and to learn where you can source local pork. Wisconsin Pork Association is proud to support the Badgers and our farmers all year round. And you should too. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
For 48 straight years, Ford F-Series have been the best-selling trucks in America. We got here by engineering breakthrough technology, redefining built Ford tough, and never settling for second best. But what's really made Ford F-Series the number one selling trucks in America is you. Ford F-Series, built Ford tough. based on 1977 to 2024 calendar year total sales.
Hear that? That's Jones All-Natural Sausage Cooking. It's almost ready to be enjoyed in your favorite breakfast sandwich or as a side with eggs. And that is Jones Dry-Aged Bacon with flavor you won't find anywhere else. You can really taste the difference our dry-aging process makes. I'm Philip Jones, and quality ingredients and attention to detail are how we've been making breakfast better since 1889. Try Jones, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And go Badgers!
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Indiana tonight 76-64. Wisconsin 43% for the field, 41% from three, 12-29, 12-17 from the free throw line. A little below average, or considerably below average, actually, by the high standards for Wisconsin. Indiana 40% for the field, just 7-27 from the arc, 11-15 at the foul line. Rebounds ended up even. Wisconsin certainly more than held its own for the guts of the game. Badgers on their 26 field goals had assists on half of them and just 6 turnovers. Indiana 9 assists and 11 turnovers in the game. John Tanjay with 15 leads the way. Max Klesman with 13. Nolan Winter with 12. Carter Gilmore with 10. Kamari McGee with 9, going 3 out of 5 from the 3-point line. John Blackwell, 8 points, a like number of rebounds, 6 for Xavier Amos, and 3 for Steven Crowell. Mackenzie Mbako with 15 to lead the way for the Hoosiers. Luke Goody with 11. Miles Rice with 10. 9 for Trey Galloway, 6 for Malik Renew. Just 4 points, 6 rebounds in 26 minutes for Umar Balo. Bryson Tucker ended up with 9 points, hitting a couple of threes, and he came in with just 1 in 17 attempts from the 3-point line, and that wraps up the scoring for Indiana. Wisconsin a winner, 76-64. One more break, back to wrap it up in 1 minute. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Updating some scores, Northwestern takes down USC tonight, 77-75. Nick Martinelli with a jumper with 2 seconds left. And in the second half, about 4.5 minutes in, UCLA leads Michigan State 46-37. Badgers a winner tonight, protecting the home floor as Wisconsin takes down Indiana 76-64. And that'll do it for us. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Patrick Herb, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson back in our network studio, this is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Saturday as the Badgers take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. And by Fabic Rents. For all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide.
Gonna find, I don't know, maybe this should be the new theme song for the Maggie Hahn Show. Because ready or not, I'll give you my best, my hardest take, my most truthful take, my most humble take every day right here on the Maggie Hahn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network from 2 to 4 p.m. Folks, we've been talking about the parade of horribles that Donald Trump has put in to action since becoming president of the United States. He's placing your family's well-being, your safety, the safety of this very nation at risk every day. And yet, though some may call it a coup, a slow-moving coup, lawlessness, chaos, this has always been the design of the Republican Party. Trump is just doing it as if there are no guardrails. He's getting it done according to the Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, the Federalist Society. These have been the plans for decades. So what do we all do about it? Let me tell you a story about civil service. If you've been listening to the show, you know that I have spent more years in civil service, in service to each and every one of you as a public servant than I have in the private sector. And here is how I applied for and was selected for government service. I applied, my name was scrubbed from my application. It was first reviewed by people who had no hiring authority, but were reviewing my resume and application materials to meet the minimum criterion, licensure, experience, etc. After that initial screening, with still my name scrubbed from my application, it was then passed on to the departments that ultimately hired me. I was then given a civil service exam, which required me to demonstrate a high level of proficiency in the very tasks and duties that I would be required to do on a daily basis in these different jobs. After I passed that skills test, then the hiring folks within the departments that I was applying actually saw my resume with a name attached to it. And if their additional review resulted in an interview, I, along with every other candidate that got interviewed, we were all asked the same exact questions in the same exact order. Guess what I have just described to all of you? Now, it ain't a perfect meritocracy, but it is a gosh darn meritocracy. Where people based upon experience, prior success, expertise in the particular job functions that they are seeking to be hired to fulfill are evaluated on those metrics. That is what the civil service is. Now, I then in turn eventually rose to an appointed position as the chief legal officer of Milwaukee County. Yes, that was a political appointment subject to confirmation by a legislature, but it gave me the opportunity to then be the hirer of people. And guess what we used? That same merit-based approach. Except I took it a step further. When I was passed resumes from people, I had anything that could identify them as an individual, their race or their gender scrubbed from their resume. So all I saw were their actual job qualifications. What the civil service is in the federal government, which was enshrined coming out of the Gilded Age and out of the corruption that resulted in the Great Depression, what it was a promise to all Americans that no matter if you're a mechanic's son, the daughter of a nurse, or the child of parents who are immigrants, that there will be a meritocracy in the civil service and government at the local, state, and federal level so that those that are incredibly qualified are the ones that serve the public. So the first thing to do here is to stand up for civil servants at the local, state, and federal level. Because that's what Donald Trump is attacking. In one side of his mouth, he talks about the meritocracy. And in the other side of his mouth, he's taking away the very things that have enshrined meritocratic hiring and promotion within the government that is supposed to serve every single one of you. So stand up for public servants and those in civil service. Thank them for their service. Call Congress and say, we expect you to continue to protect those in federal government civil service positions. The number for Congress, like there's actually just a number for Congress, is 202-224-3121. That is 202-224-3121. We're going to put that in the show notes for today. Call them. Say, we believe in public servants. We believe in the civil service. Leave those 5,000 FBI agents that stand the post every day, keeping me and you and your kids and your loved ones safe. Leave them alone. Secondly, be sure that you are registered to vote in this upcoming spring election, one of the most consequential here in the state of Wisconsin that we will see for the next few years. You can go to myvote.wi.gov. That's the second thing. The third thing is use the power of your speech. When you hear things that are racist and hateful, stand up for them, but do not put your personal safety at risk. It goes without saying. Pick up your pen, write a letter to the editor, defend public servants and the civil service. Our resistance to this long-standing and highly metastasized GOP agenda and this lawlessness, this dismantling of the middle class, this handing over the keys of our democracy to billionaire tech bros who weren't elected to squat, weren't appointed and confirmed by anybody. It is an everyday resistance. And you and I can do this together. We're going to do it together here every day from 2 to 4 p.m. on this, The Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, when we come back, I am so excited. We're going to be joined by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford. We're going to get to know Susan a little bit more. I'm going to ask her about some of the comments her opponent has said recently, because I think Brad Schimmel's the shill. It is Schimmel the shill. We discuss next with Dane County Circuit Court Judge and Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Ready or not, yeah. Here I come. Oh. You can't hide. Yo, nobody. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, yeah. Here I come. You can't hide. Yo, nobody. Gonna find you and make you one. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. You know the, you gonna know the. Find you and take it slowly.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. President Trump, during a White House press conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, announces
the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site.
El Salvador has offered to take in people deported from the U.S. for entering the country illegally, as well as the country's violent criminals, even if they're American citizens. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson points out,
legally, and I think the administration is finally admitting it, legally, it cannot be done for American citizens, even if they've committed crimes.
On its website, USAID says nearly all of its staff will be placed on leave Friday night. And the U.S. Postal Service says it has temporarily suspended inbound packages from China and Hong Kong posts until further notice. This doesn't affect letters. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose in OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks lost their fourth game in a row, this time in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. The final 125-96. Giannis, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez all sitting out with some injuries. That meant more playing time for backups like veteran Pat Connaughton.
I think for us tonight, we didn't do a great job of taking care of the basketball on offense, right? We didn't do a great job of keeping out of the lane on defense. You know, when you look back at the game that we played them in Las Vegas, we did a good job of making some of those twos hard.
College hoops, Marquette falls in the rankings to number 11 after losing to UConn at home over the weekend. They're at St. John tonight. The Badgers now rank 21st. They host Indiana tonight at the Kohl Center. NFL, at the Super Bowl opening night, Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco asks what's his favorite song they play at Arrowhead Stadium.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Yeah.
That's the Chiefs' Isaiah Pacheco. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. It's actually more like a half pick, as I sort of enjoyed the film Amelia Perez. The musical crime drama, yes, you heard that right, has 13 Oscar nominations, including for Best Picture. The story is about a ruthless drug cartel boss who hires a lawyer, played by Zoe Saldana, to help him through the gender transitioning process and to help him disappear afterwards. The logline really grabbed me, but I thought it started slow and didn't like the look of it. It did pick up steam and provided some gripping, intense moments. Ultimately, it's a little unsatisfying in my opinion, and I tend to agree with the reviews it received on Rotten Tomatoes. The film got a 73% fresh rating from critics, which is good, but a little lower than you'd expect for a film nominated for 13 Oscars. Only 18% of audiences like the film. Having said that, it still might be worth a watch, as you don't see many musical crime thrillers where cartel bosses have sex change operations. The film is free to view on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds here in the overnight with temperatures tumbling into the upper single digits. Our winds will remain light. For your Wednesday, some flurries and light snow across the area. Accumulations during the day should be rather minimal. Highs in the mid and upper 20s. Currently 8 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Trump's executive orders and tariffs. What is that doing to Wisconsin farmers? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name's Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, that you can have and find here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m., where we are all about real news and great conversation. I'm about to have one of those great conversations with my next most fabulous guest. She is a current Dane County Circuit Court judge, a former prosecutor. She's now running for the state Supreme Court. It is early voting already, everybody, for the primaries. You can go early vote. And of course, the general election on which you will see her name, that is April 1st. Please ensure that you know that you are registered to vote, that you indeed have a plan to vote by going to myvote.wi.gov. And with that, a very warm welcome to Judge Susan Crawford. Thanks for making time, Judge. We really appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure to be here, Maggie. Thanks so much for having me.
I was really excited to see your column today in the Cap Times. You're introducing yourself to Wisconsin, telling them a little bit about your background. I am a native Wisconsinite myself, also a lawyer, longtime public servant. So it was really lovely to see your background. Tell everybody a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and about your family.
Yeah, well, thank you, Maggie. So I grew up in Chippewa Falls, the western part of the state. I was part of a family with four kids. My dad was an engineer with a degree from UW-Madison that he earned on the GI Bill after serving in Korea. My mom is a third-generation Wisconsinite from Greene County. And my great-grandpa started a barbershop on the square in Monroe, Wisconsin, back in the 1860s. So we've got some deep family roots in Wisconsin. And I'm now married. I've been married for about 25 years. I have two kids who are now young adults who I'm very proud of that I raised right here in Wisconsin. And I'm running for the Supreme Court because I have really spent my whole career working to enforce our laws and protect people's rights under our Constitution. And I think I have a great experience for the role and want to be a fair, impartial justice on our Supreme Court.
So, Judge Crawford, every single candidate for the Supreme Court says these things. How can people tell the difference between candidates if they're saying those same sorts of things?
You know, I think that's a fair question, Maggie. And in this particular race, I think that the difference is pretty stark between myself and my opponent, Brad Schimmel. He has had a career as a partisan politician, has a career of working to take rights away from people, has pursued a really extreme agenda as a partisan politician, and is running this race very much as if it were a partisan race, saying what positions he takes on cases that are currently pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, prejudging those cases, that's prejudicial to the parties in those cases. It's not proper for judges to comment on pending cases like that, but he's doing it because he wants people, I guess, to know what his agenda is. And, you know, he has often worked to take rights away from people, including things like reproductive health care rights. I, on the other hand, have never held partisan office. I've never been involved in partisan politics. And, you know, as I said, I've worked hard throughout my career to protect the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws and Constitution. And that's what I want to do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
It's interesting to me, right, that most, as we look at the past Supreme Court races in this state, we've seen more and more money coming in, and they have appeared, I think, to every regular person in the state of Wisconsin as increasingly partisan. Unfortunately, my opinion is that I think the manner in which some of the decisions being rendered by the Supreme Court, even the manner in which they're written, have started to reflect this additional partisanship. How do you, Judge Crawford, propose to fight against that trend, to really push back on our judicial system, on our legal system, for the system that we have, imperfect though it may be, of deciding disputes between party, deciding and articulating the rights of people, to step it back from that partisan ledge? How will you approach cases And what has your philosophy been as a lawyer and as a judge and as you propose to be as a Supreme Court justice to help pull us back from the abyss that we seem to be on the precipice of?
Yeah, I think that's an important question. And my approach as a judge is to it's pretty common sense, I would say. First of all, I work to get the facts right. So you have to listen to the evidence and evaluate what are the true facts of the case. I think the truth is a really important and unfortunately kind of overlooked quality in our politics. It's not overlooked in our justice system, or it shouldn't be. So finding out what the truth is, and then figuring out how the law should be applied to those facts after listening to the attorneys make their arguments. Often they have different interpretations of how the law should be applied. And then making a common sense judgment that protects people as the law was intended, to make sure that the law is being used or our Constitution is being used to protect the people in front of me. And I never lose sight of the fact that every case in front of me involves real people. And it's really important for a judge to put that first and foremost. The decisions I make are not abstract principles. They are decisions that are going to affect real people's lives. And that's what I'll do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court as well. And there's kind of an additional layer to that on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because Supreme Court decisions establish precedent that applies throughout all of the courts in the state, all the state courts. And so as a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I will also consider how the court's decisions are going to be applied in those future cases and how they will affect real people's lives in future cases. So that's my approach. I think it's really a matter of common sense and a way to make sure that we're using our laws to protect people. That's what they're for.
Folks, I'm joined by Judge Susan Crawford, current Dane County Circuit Court judge, candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You will find her on your ballot on April 1st. Be sure that you are registered and ready to vote by going to myvote.wi.gov. Judge Crawford, I was the chief legal officer of the Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County for many years. I now do a very political talk radio show. When I took my job from Milwaukee County, I came to that job as a human being with my own set of personal beliefs and frankly, political preferences. And one of the tasks that I had, one of the duties that I had, was to the best of my ability, with an incredible amount of humility, to try to check those beliefs, check my political preferences at the door, and to follow and exercise my judgments and my obligations in that office in a nonpartisan, objective way. How do you propose even writ large, talking very generally to judges, how do you manage your personal beliefs and your personal political preferences when you put on that robe and you're called to really rise above that? How do you actually do that? Because it's a bit of a trick. We're all human beings.
Right. Well, I've been a judge now for about 6.5 years. And as you make from being a lawyer to being a judge, that's something that you learn how to do very quickly. As a lawyer, you are always an advocate. You're fighting for a cause for your client in the courtroom. So, in my case, I fought for public school teachers when the government was taking away their rights in the workplace. I was fighting for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors when the government was trying to get between women and their doctors. And those were some cases with some political ramifications to them, in that they arose out of legislation that was controversial and, divided people. So as a judge, I apply the law. And I make decisions every day that I really strive to be unbiased and impartial, and to look at what the purposes are of the law. In my view, the law is a tool to resolve disputes and to protect people's rights. And that's how I view it. So I've had a lot of practice now as a judge, in maintaining impartiality and making fair decisions. And that's why it is, you know, so really disappointing to me and upsetting to me to see my opponent running his campaign for the Wisconsin Supreme Court as if it was a partisan campaign, taking positions on pending issues like that 1849 law before that's now pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He says it should be upheld as a criminal ban on all abortions in our state. He's been saying that on the campaign trail. And that, because it's a case that's pending in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he shouldn't be doing that. It's prejudicial to the parties in that case. It shows his bias, and you won't hear me doing that.
If I can, Judge, and again, with great respect to your service and to your intention to approach cases impartially, you noted in your last response that you, in the past, have been a lawyer for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Given that, how can Wisconsin voters be assured that, again, you will approach the cases challenging that 1849 law, requiring you to address reproductive freedoms in an impartial way, given that you have represented as an attorney an organization that advocates for reproductive freedoms?
Right. Well, I think it's important for voters to know what my experience is, what I have worked on throughout my career, for them to know that I have stood up in the courtroom and fought for the rights of people whose rights were being taken away from them by the government. My opponent's never done that. And in fact, he has, signed onto lawsuits when he was the Republican Attorney General during Scott Walker's administration to try to overturn the Affordable Care Act and take health insurance away from thousands of Wisconsinites. So I think voters deserve to know what our histories are and what we've worked for throughout our careers, and to make their choices based on who they think is going to be a fair justice on the Supreme Court.
I'd like to play for you very briefly a bit of sound. This is your opponent talking about his fundraising activities.
Yeah.
She got in the race 3 weeks before that deadline was up, raised $460,000 in 3 weeks. You can't do that. The way I'm doing it is by calling, begging people, cajoling, buying, you know, stopping at Menards for a new set of knee pads every couple days. That's how I have to raise the money. Their money's just going to flow in.
This is your opponent explicitly stating that he is on the phone soliciting funds. Your response to that, Judge Crawford?
Well, I think you probably know, Maggie, that the judicial rules prohibit candidates for judicial office, including candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, from asking people for financial contributions to their campaign. And I strictly follow that rule. It sounds to me like Brad Schimmel is not following that rule, and it's disappointing to hear.
It's stunning to me, this is my own commentary, not the judge's, that someone that is trying to be one of the individuals in this state charged with interpreting and enforcing the law himself finds him, maybe I'll follow those laws, those rules and ethical regulations for judges and judicial candidates with such disdain. Very briefly, Judge Crawford, let's end on a bit of a lighter note. It is so very serious on the campaign trail. People are getting to know you and your family. Tell us all something that we might be a little surprised to hear that Judge Susan Crawford is all about. A surprising fact about you, if you've got one, Judge.
Oh, gosh, Meg, you're putting me on the spot. I will put my chocolate chip cookies up against anybody else in the state. I am a damn good cookie baker, and that's what I'll give you.
I love it. We're going to be eating Judge Crawford's chocolate chip cookies next time. Maybe I'll give you a few of my macadamia nut ones, and we'll have a little cookie off next time. Hope to have you back soon. Folks, that is Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, current Dane County Circuit Court. My thanks to you, Susan, for your time this afternoon. Can't wait to have you back. When we come back, I'm going to give you some closing thoughts for the day. Maybe I'll go down a wee bit of a cookie rabbit hole with each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
If you've thought about contributing to a Roth IRA, but you made too much money during your working years, you can have a second chance through a Roth conversion. As you may know, a Roth IRA provides tax-free withdrawals, provided you've had the account at least 5 years and you're at least 59 and a half. A Roth's income limits may have kept you from contributing. However, you can convert your traditional IRA to a Roth. It's not hard to do, but there's a catch. You'll have to pay taxes on the pre-tax dollars you convert. See your tax advisor before making a conversion. If it's appropriate for your situation, you may find that owning a Roth IRA can benefit you and your family for years. This is Clay Kanoke with Edward Jones in Wisconsin Rapids at 715-421-0958.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Blue Monday has been a thing ever since a British psychologist came up with it 20 years ago.
Today is a day to rewrite the lyrics to Blue Christmas.
Yes, yes.
All I have a Blue Monday when it's cold.
Nice, nice. That is my new favorite thing.
Yes.
Right there. That was awesome.
See you in the bumpers.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This ain't Texas. No, it's Wisconsin. No, it's politics. But I'll put my cards out in the open, play open-handed with each and every one of you every day from 2 to 4 p.m. right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to keep it locked. My little buddy and yours, Dom Salvia, is coming up next after me. He's got that great show from 4 to 6 p.m. again across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might even find me on there for the first half hour of his show. A little overtime with Maggie Dawn joining Dom today. I think we might be talking about Schimmel the Show. I think that might come up, Calvin. I think. I have a hint, an inkling, if you will. My thanks to Judge Susan Crawford from Dane County for joining me. We hope to have a continuing great conversation with the judge over the course of this election, an absolutely monumental one for Wisconsin, for your rights, for mine, for judicial independence, you know, for judges not being a shill when they're out on the campaign trail. What can I say? I don't like it when judges walk around with hat in hands asking for money. It might, you know, have the aroma, the musk, if you will, of corruption. Seems to be a theme these days. I want to give a special thanks to all of the incredible texters. I have got a new partner with my show. Her name's Jamie. She is helping me keep track of all of your incredible feedback. We are taking your questions. We are taking your comments. We will get to them. I will address them, especially your questions. We're going to do that on Friday in a new segment called Ask Maggie. That's going to be 3 o'clock every Friday. If you submit a question on the text line, Jamie and I are going to grab it. We're going to put it in the old Ask Maggie hopper. And on Friday, I'm going to have 90 seconds to give my best shot at your question. And that's all the time I get. Y'all know I can talk. This is going to put some bumpers, as in bumper bowling, around my, you know, my little verboseness that comes up from time to time. I cannot wait to do that. And tomorrow, everybody, I hope you enjoy these segments as much as I do. We close every Wednesday's show with a little segment called Over the Hump and Trump. It is us taking a break together talk about some things that aren't overtly political, how we can all cope, maintain our joy, having joy, being together, finding connection in these times where we are being told in so many ways to separate ourselves from one another. That is how we resist. That is going to be tomorrow at 3:30, Over the Hump and Trump, coming to you every Wednesday at 3:30. Tomorrow, I'm going to kick off the show. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm going to kick off the show with part of how we maintain our energy through the fire hose that is the Donald Trump administration. Because it's hard. I myself get worn out. And I'm going to share with you some of the things that I'm using to find my energy, to find my perseverance, my resilience in these times. I hope you join me for that segment. We've also got State Senator Melissa Radcliffe from Senate District 16. And she is super pumped to talk with me, jazzed, as Governor Evers would say, jazzed to talk to me about the upcoming Super Bowl. I can't wait to hear what the senator might be cooking up for her Super Bowl festivities. I might share a few of my favorite recipes. And speaking of recipes, especially since Susan Crawford dropped that her favorite thing is her award-winning, or at least maybe in her own mind, award-winning chocolate chip cookie recipe. I got to tell y'all, we're going to end with this today. A little story about me making cookies. Because I have some of the best cookie recipes, I think, in the state of Wisconsin. How do I know this? Because they're all butter and sugar, right? I mean, that's it. I also know this because they are old, old, old recipes. I have some from my 90-year-old neighbor that I grew up with as one of my babysitters. Her name was Ann Luddington. Amazing lady, written on those little like 2x4 cards in her shaky 90-year-old script. Her recipe, Ann Luddington, props to you. Amazing cookie recipes. Also for my great, great grandmother, my great aunt. Anywho, when I was living in New York City way back in the day, I love to have people over. I love celebrating. I call it the Last Supper theory. You don't need to believe in Jesus Christ, but at least it was a really good story about this guy that had a lot of people over him when he knew he was going to kick the bucket. What did he do? He had all of his friends over for a big dinner. They broke bread. They shared some drinks. I love entertaining. So when I lived in New York, every year I'd have this big holiday party. All these people would come through. And every year it got bigger and bigger. And one of the main reasons why is because I would make these very German, very Wisconsin, very old school cookie recipes filled with butter and sugar. Would it surprise you to know that New Yorkers don't really eat a lot of butter and sugar? A little more particular about this. Anyways, I would make somewhere north of about 1,400 cookies. Think all of these batches times 3 or 4. And it was like a swarm of freaking locusts had come through my place. There was never a single cookie left on the deck. Everybody ate all of them up, even made little cookie bags for all my friends that I met in New York. Every once in a while, I'll get a text around the holidays from one of my buddies back in the day saying, hey, can you send me some of those cookies or at least the recipe? Now, the fun thing, if you are a recipe maker of the old school recipe variety, there's always some ingredient, some technique that is not on the recipe card that you just have to know because you've watched your mom or your grandma or your 90-year-old neighbor Ann make the recipe that you just pick up by osmosis. I send them the recipes, but they don't have all of the secret ingredients, if you know what I'm saying. But I always loved that and remember those times fondly in New York City. But we got the best cookies right here in Wisconsin. Folks, that's going to do it for me today. Going to be a little overtime with me and Dom Salvia, who's got the fantastic program coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to talk a little bit about Shibble the Shill, so you're going to want to keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. Thanks so much for listening this afternoon. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
Take it to the flow now. Ooh. To the flow now, ooh. Tuck, back, pulse. Shoot. Come take it to the flow now, ooh. And I'll be damned if I cannot do.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV writer and executive producer of The Soup, K.P. Anderson, and comedian Ben Katzner drops by to discuss his upcoming show in Green Bay. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
At Boot Barn, we know you need a reliable work boot. A boot that has withstood the test of time. When you feed, build, and fuel the nation, you can't take chances. Because you wake before the sun rises and end the day after it sets. Dating back to 1892, Thorogood takes pride in building high-quality work boots designed for hard-working people. Because reliability comes first. Thorogood at Boot Barn Work.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. During a White House press conference with Israel's prime minister, President Trump says the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and redevelop it, suggesting it could be the Riviera of the Middle East. He says Palestinians displaced by Israel's war in Gaza should be resettled outside of the war-torn territory.
We should go to other countries of interest with humanitarian hearts, and there are many of them that want to do this, and build various domains that will ultimately be occupied by the 1.8 million Palestinians living in Gaza.
Georgetown University adjunct professor Khaled Eljindi.
It's jarring to hear the president double and triple down on this idea of uprooting an entire population of more than 2 million human beings and very casually discussing their relocation.
A Hamas official says Trump's Gaza remarks are a recipe for creating chaos in the